Let us just entrust everything to Our Lady, especially as we are here in the presence of Our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, exposed in the altar, in the middle of a liturgy. Exposition of the Blessed Sacrament is always a liturgy, so we are truly taken up into heaven. But let us entrust everything to Our Lady and ask her help, especially that we may carry out her command to do whatever He tells us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Immaculate Heart of Mary, Blessed Teresa of Calcutta.
Pray for us.
And I don't want to miss the opportunity again. I don't know where my mind's been all day, but if we could pray the entrustment prayer that Father Sebastian asked us to pray.
We did last night, but to do it again today. Isn't it looking hard?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the honor and glory of God, and moved by an ardent desire to quench the infinite thirst of Jesus on the cross and in the Eucharist, for love and for souls, we, the members of the USA, lay missionaries of charity, entrust ourselves and our retreat to the care and protection of the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We promise that during this retreat, we will pay particular attention to the inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit. We will make every effort to remember the past with gratitude and purified memories, no matter what the past has been. We will try to live the present with joy and enthusiasm. We will listen to God in prayer, in the silence of our hearts, especially during these days, with great interest, love, and concern for one another. We beg pardon of God and want to make reparation for all our infidelities in living our vows faithfully and perseveringly, and failing to make present the holiness of God by not forgiving and by not accepting forgiveness. We make every effort to look forward to the future with serene confidence, unfailing hope, and undaunted courage. May the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the glorious Patriarch Saint Joseph present this entrustment to the Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And I'd just like to start this conference with a passage from the Gospel of John. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes, so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment: love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you: love one another. Jesus gives us this very powerful parable of the vine and the branches, telling us that he is the vine and we are the branches. As we reflect on Mother Teresa and her ability to love Jesus in the distressing disguise of the poorest of the poor, we have surely all tried this and struggled with this to one degree or another. One of the ways that we learn how to do it better is to love Jesus in the distressing disguise of bread. There is an important analogy there. Another way is to learn to love Jesus, the vine, by loving the branches, as we also learn to love Jesus, the body, by loving his members. There is an interconnection of all of these things. When I was first in the faith, I recounted a little earlier today the story of having come to a knowledge of the Lord through studying the scripture, and in our Bible study we talked about John chapter 6, and I can't take any credit for it, and I can't reproduce it. In the mystery of God's love, he gave me a grace to recognize that John chapter 6 was talking about the Mass. And I accepted this reality of God giving his body and blood to us through the Eucharist under the appearance of bread and wine. I refrained from receiving the Eucharist for a full 2 years, going to Mass pretty faithfully every Sunday, maybe actually every Sunday. I wasn't real worried. I wasn't Catholic yet, so I wasn't actually worried yet. Hadn't developed any Catholic guilt, so... But I think I may have really gone every Sunday for those 2 years, but certainly went almost every Sunday, if not every Sunday, to Mass without receiving communion. And I didn't think about it very deeply, and I didn't ask probing questions. And in that way, the Lord, and that was very uncharacteristic for me. I'm a little bit intellectual, if you haven't figured this out. I like to call people like that mentally challenged. Challenged by their mental. So, in any event, by some grace, I never thought, like, tried to pull apart, well, how can this be, and what does this mean, and are we cannibals, or what are we doing eating his body and blood, and how can he be there, here and there and everywhere else? And I just didn't ask a lot of questions like that. I had a childlike faith in that regard. It makes me think of, I had the great blessing of giving both, I have only three little relatives, two nieces, or two nephews and a niece, and I've given my nephew and my niece their first Holy Communion so far, so we're doing pretty good. I got one nephew to go. We'll see if we can pull that off. It's the joy of being the priest in the family. So my brother's also Catholic. He converted 2 years before I did. And at my niece's first communion, the priest preached very simply, and he was preaching very much to the parents who were there, who need the homily much more than the children do. And he said to one of the children, "What are you going to receive today? Why is this day such a big day? What are you receiving?" And the child just said, "Jesus." Simple. No problem. He said, "See, simple. They know exactly what's happening here. We make it complicated. We're receiving Jesus. Jesus loves us this much, loves us enough to give himself to us in his body and blood, to make himself this radically available to us. It must have been a certain agony for him to be only in one place when he was on earth. Sometimes we think, oh, those lucky apostles, they got to be with him when he was on earth. They got to speak with him and see his face. And certainly there is something particular and unique and beautiful about that. But it must have been a little bit of an agony for him. Maybe it even goes into some of the heart of when he was saying, I have come to set the world on fire, and oh, how I wish it were kindled. And I have... I'm just mixing scripture verses in my head. Anyway, that agony, that longing to reveal his love, that longing to be present, not just in one place, not just to these apostles, but to every one of us. And so he also said, "How I have longed to eat this Passover with you." He longed to give us the gift of the Eucharist. He longed to give us his body and blood. He longed to be as radically and intimately present to us as we have him here present with us today. He longed to be so intimately present to us that he would be in us, that we could consume him, that we could receive him whole and entire in the Blessed Sacrament. He longed for that intimacy with us. I think there is, at the heart of a lot of doubt about the Eucharist, I think there's a real fear and a doubt about how much God really wants to love us. That certainly is the question that's at stake. Does God really love us that much that he would make himself so incredibly available to us, so incredibly vulnerable before us,